is a song of unity called We Are. As we go into this next song, but feel free to continue singing with us and worshiping in your own way. I love this song so much because no matter what we feel we do is wrong, God will continue to love us. Isn't that amazing? No matter what we do, God will continue to love us. This song is called How Can It Be?
Call. About loving your enemy, which I know we all probably need to practice that. This is one of my favorite songs. I love the message of it. So as you hear the chorus as it comes along, feel free to sing with us. This is called Brother.
So, in our focus for a year of compassion, hashtag Compassion 2018, and in particular for our theme of compassion for these next several sermons that I'm giving, today we're going to deal with a part of the human element. It's a part of our lives in general that impacts many of us. And all the while, we're called by Christ to do something that just, you know, it doesn't quite mesh with our gut reactions, our logical thinking, and it's what I would consider probably one of the most difficult things to do, the greatest of challenges, loving our enemies. Yeah, that's an especially timely topic these days, isn't it? When we just want to and we just actually do. Delete folks on Facebook or other social media, right? Just get rid of them. Remove them from our lives. And you know that harsh emotion that comes at us in a gazillion ways, which in turn, it pushes us toward anger rather than love. And it's what I would classify a petri dish of individuals that they just get on our nerves or they get under our skin. And so some example of those are people whose ideological or political views are offensive to us. For example, pro-life, pro-choice, build a wall, let's not have a wall. Those can just get right great on our nerves. People who are in certain social positions, such as the poor, the wealthy, military, incarcerated. People whose very deeds just offend us. Acts of violence, abuse, corruption, taking advantage of the vulnerable. And then we have people who just simply push our buttons. The person who's, you know, they just get in front of you in your car. Just, right? Or I'm thinking where I was having lunch one day and the mother-daughter were there and the daughter the entire time of the lunch talked on her phone. And I thought, wow, that's rather rude. And so it's those things that happen. But then let's not forget enemies of the moment. And that could include our coworkers, our friends and families, our companions whose actions, they can just trigger something just like that, fire and fury. Loving our enemies, it is easier said than done. But if we don't, for my friends, that's what we're called to do, and we're going to get into it today. First, let's bring forward our scripture for today, and that's from Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48. And I'm telling you in advance, this passage is absolutely chock full of topic discussions, but I'm going to narrow it down. So I'm bringing forward Ryan and Madison, and they are going to read the scripture that is from the New Revised Standard Version. It's up on the flat, it'll be up on the flat screens. And again, this is from Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48.
You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. That's still me, I'm sorry. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you.
You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same?
But be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen. Maybe I should just stop there. What do you think? Okay. Now, you may be thinking, that's impossible. I mean, this command that comes from Jesus, this may be coming inside of you, and you may be going, well, okay, come on. What was relevant then is irrelevant now. I mean, come on, Pastor Mark. Jesus was hoping we'd follow these recommendations. There's no way that we could follow them. And bluntly, since that time for around 2,000 years, Christians have followed suit with those thoughts of, well, I know it was all good and well with Jesus, but it didn't mean it for me. And because of those hateful, hurtful actions that have taken place, it really grates on me because it's from those who consider themselves to be Christians. And they allow that to continue to take place. So, in essence, these types of thoughts indicate that we'd rather settle for being spiritual slackers than living fully into the directive shared by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. Well, just because it's hard doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. For this type of agape love is a blueprint for our very lives. This is a blueprint for this church community. This is a blueprint for our society and for the world. And let me ask this, why in the world would Jesus command such a thing, loving our enemies, if it were impossible? There's a quote from John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, that ties into this question, and here's what he said. God well knew how ready our unbelief would be to cry out, "This is impossible," and therefore stakes upon it all the power, truth, and faithfulness of God, to whom all things are possible. Amen? But all of this, which we may nod our heads, oh yeah, yeah, I agree with that, it's at odds with human nature, which feels much easier to do the opposite that seems normal, because it's easier to hold a grudge. It's easier to be mean. It's easier to just cut off communication. It's easier just to ignore the opposition. You go on to the back. And to have these thoughts and feelings that arise within that you're thinking, you know, if I turn my other cheek, the enemy, they're just going to strike the other cheek. Or if, you know what, if my enemy sues me, I'm just going to hire me a good attorney and we're going to take them to the cleaners. I'm going to find a loophole. Or if my enemy sees me that I'm trying to be nice or I'm trying to be kind or generous, all they're going to do is they're going to think, look at me like I'm a weakling. That's it. I'm just weak. And those types of feelings and those thoughts are actually, they're absolutely legitimate. Because they're justified when we consider African Americans who continue to suffer racial discrimination. When our immigrants here are being told, go back to your own country, when in actuality the United States of America is their country. Or women who are doing the same job as a man, but they're not receiving equal pay. Or those individuals who are LGBTQIA and they don't have the same rights as others. Or those who are suffering at the hands of oppressors. It's difficult in how to imagine we live into forgiveness and reconciliation to loving our enemies, because it is much easier to fall into the trap of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's easier to retaliate because we don't want to feel this way anymore. Well, let me make myself clear on this issue. What seems impossible isn't, because Jesus didn't set forth goals that could never be achieved, and Jesus didn't seek to shame any of us just because we can't reach perfection. He met people exactly where they are. They're right there in their lives, and what he shared with them and with us through the ages is live into God's values, not man's. For all of us are to grow into the maturity that is more God-like. Yeah, we fall short at times, but God recognizes that we're works of his and her creative art, and in that recognition, we must allow Christ to take hold of us, to work through us, and understand this isn't about getting things right. It isn't about that. It's about turning ourselves over to love. To love the world how God has loved us and does love us. And we have the best example of that agape love in Jesus. And also in our world, we're surrounded by numerous examples of unselfish love and caring. All we got to do is just look for them. Open your eyes, open our ears. And those type of examples don't have to be stuck in a category of, well, I'm only going to do Christians only. Okay? We learn from everyone about agape love. A very moving example that I want to share about agape love is something that Rev Kathy, we were talking about it, and she recently shared with me, and it's about the comedian Sarah Silverman. This is a woman known for her dark comedy, yet she showed her heart being full of kindness. So I'm going to share this with you. Sarah reached out, it was via a tweet to a Trump supporter, and she wanted to gain some understanding in regard to a particular issue. Well, what had happened in reply to her tweet is a Twitter user, Jeremy Gemrosi, he decided to reply in a very vulgar, offensive way. Now, the typical response when someone is throwing a vulgarity at you is to lash out, fire and fury, right? You just want, ooh. But that's not what Sarah did. She did just the opposite. Instead of an immediate response, she took time to look at Jeremy's Twitter profile and his timeline. And when she did so, she discovered more about Jeremy than his one-word tweet indicated. Here's what she tweeted back, just a portion. I read your timeline and I see what you're doing. Your rage is thinly veiled pain, but you know that. And I know this feeling. See what happens when you choose love. I see it in you. Well, she also discovered on his timeline that he was in great physical pain, and then this is when it started to unfold. So Jeremy responds, and I'm sharing with you a cleaner version. I can't choose love. A man that resembles Kevin Spacey took that away when I was 8. I can't find peace. If I could find that guy who ripped my body, who stripped my innocence, I'd kill him. He screwed me up. And I'm poor, so it's hard to get help. Now, Sarah's reply expressed not only empathy, but care for this man who some would have identified as their enemy. And she replies, I can't imagine your rage. Just reading that makes me want to do bad things. Questions. Are you doing and not judging? Are you doing heroin? Are you self-medicating? Do you want to get clean? She then followed that soon with a tweet that said, I can't imagine your rage. All I know is this rage. And even if you could kill him, it's punishing yourself. And you don't deserve punishment. You deserve support. Go to one of your support groups. You might meet one of your best brothers there. By the time all these tweets had gone back and forth, which is now viral, Sarah Silverman had diffused hate. She had willingly taken the time and energy to dig deep and find out that Jeremy's anger was not only this physical violation that he suffered as a child, but it was also due to his physical and declining health. And that's when Sarah reached out to her personal network and was able to connect Jeremy with a health specialist who would take care of him for free. Now that's compassion, my friends. That's a 2018 resolution that we ought to be taking on and beyond 2018. Amen? Now, you see, what Sarah Silverman did was, it is known as non-retaliation, and that is what Jesus did. And what comes across as weak or even bordering on collaborating with the enemy, that's in actuality profound resistance. We're not playing the adversary's game. And what we've seen lived out, we've seen these words that were shared by Jesus. These are in such individuals as Muhammad Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr., who incorporated nonviolent strategies into the whole of their beings, and they influenced thousands upon thousands of people. What they did and what Sarah did was, rather than wiping the opponent from the face of the earth, they worked to extinguish the act of opposition itself. Because to fight fire with fire, well, that only makes enemies of each other. Our adversarial stances, when we do that, only grow stronger in negativity and they blind us. And that poison, all it does is it seeps our very bodies, our souls, and our minds, which is what the adversary wants, to stand in opposition of Christ. So rather than fight fire with fire, we should fight fire with water. Yes, indeed. Frank Rogers Jr. wrote Compassion in Practice, and he's going to be leading this free workshop on compassion here at Harmony Toluca Lake Campus on Saturday, January 27th. Information's in your worship bulletins. Jen's mentioned this. It's on our website. Frank wrote something in his book that I want to share, and it gave me pause. And I love it when someone gives me pause. And here's what he shared. The people who repel us serve as our mirrors. Our enemies become our spiritual teachers. They have the unique capacity to surface within us what most immediately longs for healing and wholeness. And in pointing us back to ourself, they lead us to the source of our compassion, a compassion wide enough to hold all the world's wounded. Our enemies can be our guides. They are the faces of God in disguise. Wow, they are the faces of God in disguise. Now, I also want to make myself perfectly clear on another matter which ties into loving our enemies. While we should and we must pray and love for those who have done wrong against us, against humanity, and that's on a personal and a collective level, sometimes it requires us to stand strong in bringing to an end, to discontinue what allows or enables those who wreak havoc in our lives. For example, being in a relationship when you're the punching bag, or someone's behavior is continuously inappropriate and they won't stop. We are still called to love God as our neighbors, as ourselves, even though consequences for those negative actions must be applied. But it's not to punish with vengeance. It is not to satisfy our need and want and desire for revenge. No, we must not aim with vengeance, but instead we need to help them and provide opportunity for insight, clarity, and for the opportunity for them to change from the inside out. Where hate is removed, that is then thereby replaced by love for healing and restoration. And only through the grace of Jesus that can be enabled. And it's only when Christ takes hold of our hearts and lives in our hearts that love for everyone, friends and enemies alike, springs to life. So I'm going to close today's message with these inspirational words that were shared by Martin Luther King Jr. in one of the sermons that he gave in November of 1957. And it is actually scary to read his sermons where we're talking that 60 years ago and 50 years ago, and it still can be applied to today. Listen to these powerful words. The command to love one's enemy is an absolute necessity for our survival. Love, even for enemies, is the key to the solution of the problems of our world. We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Forgiveness does not mean ignoring what has been done or putting a false label on an evil act. It means, rather, that the evil act no longer remains as a barrier to the relationship. The degree to which we are able to forgive determines the degree to which we are able to love our enemies. I have a whole lot more I could say about forgiveness, but that is for another time, my friends. In the meantime, I remind us that we are all of us, sisters and brothers in God's realm. And as MLK said, we must love our enemies, because only by loving them can we know God and experience the beauty of His holiness. Let us go forth from this place and love the world as God has loved us, fully, richly, abundantly, and completely. Amen.
A river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrow. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over. Bye.
God bless.